So this is the yard site shiur that the Rav gave, entitled Be'inyon Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the Rav says that it's not enough that we interpret the historical events that took place and led up to the redemption from Mitzrayim. That's not enough to fulfill the mitzvah. But in addition, what we have to do is we have to study the laws of Pesach. It's a Talmud Torah mitzvah. And the Talmud Torah itself is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. How does the Rav know this? How does he know that through Talmud Torah we fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So he quotes three different proofs for this conclusion. Number one, in the Haggadah there's a paragraph that presents a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim about the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim that applies the whole year round. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah declares, Harani kiven shivim shana, I'm like a 70-year-old man. And we never merited the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, until we had a drasha, Yomim, Kol Ayomim, Kol Ayomim, Lahavias Halelos, to include the nights. What does this machlokas, this Mishnah, have to do with Haggadah Shel Pesach? And if you look in the Rambam's Haggadah, his Nusach, his text of the Haggadah, he writes, Amar Lahem Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It means they were learning in Bnei Brak, they were studying Torah, they were talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and apparently they were delving into the specifics of those halachos that relate to Yetzias Mitzrayim, one of which is the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So even though the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim applies the whole year round, since it's relevant to the miracles and the wonders that took place and transpired to our forefathers, our ancestors, the Mitzrayim, therefore it's integrated into the study of those halachas that are relevant to the redemption from Mitzrayim. And therefore, they cut and pasted this entire Mishnah and injected it into the Haggadah. And through the study of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, we fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Proof number two, the Tosefta at the end of Arvei Pesachim, the last parak of Pesachim, says the following, Chayav Adam Lasok Behilchos HaPesach Kol HaLaila. A person is obligated to dedicate himself on this night of Pesach to the study of the laws of Pesach, of the Korban Pesach. Afilu beino levein atzmo. Even if he doesn't have a son to learn with, which would be the optimal situation, he should learn it by himself. If he has a student, then let him learn it with his student. Maisa b'ran gamliel v'zkenim. Then the Tosefta continues and tells the story from Gamliel and the elders that they were together on the night of Seder. Where were they? They were in the base, they were in the house of Baitus ben Zunin in Lud. We know today where Lud is. For you are sukim b'ilchas ha-pesach kol ha-layla. And they were dedicating themselves to study the laws of Korban Pesach the entire night. Ad krus gever, until daybreak. At that point, they got up and they went to the Beis HaMedrash. What does this have to do with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? The Tosefta postulates a mitzvah, an obligation incumbent upon us to study the laws of Pesach, even Beino Levein Talmidov. And that's exactly what Rabbi Gamliel was doing with his elders, his colleagues in Lud, the entire night of Pesach. They were studying the laws of Pesach. It must be, therefore, says the Rav, that there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which really forms the backbone of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And finally, the third proof is from the response we give to the wise son. when he asks us about the avoda of this night, and what do we answer him? Afata emor lo kehilchas haPesach, ein maftirin achar Pesach afikomot. We teach him the laws of Korban Pesach, up until the very last law, that we don't eat anything after the Korban Pesach. According to the Girsa, the text that the Gaon has, the Vilna Gaon, it says ad ein maftir, meaning all the laws of Pesach until we get to the last halacha. If the mind of the child can integrate the laws of Pesach, if he's capable of that kind of thought process. Again, a third proof that on this night of Pesach, we're dedicating ourselves to the study of Torah, the study of Halacha. And it seems, says the Rav, that to understand why this is so, we really have to study the parsha of the Ben HaChacham, the wise son, which you'll find in Shmos Yud Beis, Pasuk Chaf Hei. In Parshas Bo, we find a connection between the Korban Pesach, the Achilas Matzah, the Isur Chametz. It's all integrated there into one parsha. The Rasha is the one who appears first. He says, Ma Avodah Zos Lachem? The Ben Sheni Odeh Lishol appears second in the parsha. That you'll see in Shmos Yud Gimel. And there it says, Matzos Yeochal Shivas Yomim V'lo Yira Yira L'cha Chomitz L'yira L'cha Asor B'chuk V'chuk 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 V'chuk. You take the initiative and tell your son, Bavur Zeh Asah Shamli, etc. And then, at the end of this whole section, we find the Ben HaTam. The Tam appears also in Perek Yud Gimel, and he says, "V'hoyek yishalcha bincha machar lemar mazos." That's all he's capable of asking is mazos. He doesn't have an intelligent, well-formulated, specific question to ask, but mazos. The amar te'ilov, and you tell him, "Where is the Ben HaChacham?"
Same answer.
But where is he in the Torah? I see that first we have the Ben Rasha, Ma Avodah Zos Lachem. Then we have the Ein Yodeh Lishal. Then we have the Tam. Where's the Ben Chacham? The answer is, guess what? He's not in the book of Shmos at all. He's in the book of Dvarim in Parshas Vayeschanan. And what does it say there? He asks a whole different kind of question. He asks a question that really ties into the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There, the holiday of Pesach is not mentioned at all. The Torah is dedicating itself to observing the mitzvos in general. We're looking at the Parshas Vaschanon in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Ches, and a little bit later on you'll see there in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Shomar Tishmerun es HaMitzvos es Mitzvah Hashem El Keichem. The Torah says you should observe the mitzvos of the Lord your God, Eidosav, V'chukosav, V'chukav, Asher Tzivcha, V'asisa Yoshev Atov, Ki Yishalcha, Bincha, Mochar, Lemar, Ma'azot, Ha'edus, V'chukim, Mishpatish, Etziv Hashem, Al-Kenu Eschem. The question, the way it's formulated in the Parsha, in Mishneh Torah, in the Sefer Dvarim, relates to Shmiras HaTorah V'Mitzvos B'chlal, to the general observance of the Torah Mitzvos. The Ben, the son who's a Chacham, is asking a very important question. He's asking, what's the purpose of living a life of Torah Mitzvos? This question is not limited to Korban Pesach. And therefore, the question arises, what answer do we give him? What's the central motif, the idea that we convey to him in response to his question? Shekedei lo'avin mashmas Torah Mitzvos. We teach the son that in order to understand the meaning of Torah Mitzvos, we don't have to go to university and study philosophy. We don't have to dedicate ourselves to hakiris, to philosophical speculations, to metaphysical questions. What we have to know is the dinim of the Torah. We have to study the laws of the Torah. And at the same time, we have to be loyal and dedicated to the fulfillment of the mitzvos. Vayitzaveinu Hashem lasos es kol hamishpatim ha'ele. We tell the Ben HaChacham that God has commanded us to fulfill all these precepts, all these laws. And therefore we have to know these laws, and we have to implement and achieve a fulfillment of the will of God. In the Haggadah, the question of Parshas Veschanan and the answer to that question was limited in its scope. In the Haggadah, the question of the Ben doesn't relate to Kol HaTorah Kulo, the entire vast body, the corpus of Torah, but rather he's asking with relationship to specific mitzvahs. For example, the mitzvah of Pesach. And the answer is appropriate. It's very specific. It dedicates itself to the study of the laws of Pesach. However, despite that fact, the central concept remains the same. The response to the son by his father, when his son asks him that general question, is a response which doesn't express some sort of speculative investigation, some abstract philosophical question, but rather to the study of halacha. The simple mitzvah of Talmud Torah to the child has been established here in this parasha and in the Haggadah, and expresses itself in our relationship to Pesach within the context of the answer, the response of the son, of the father, to his son's question. If the son is a chacham and he asks about Chag HaPesach, we have to teach him the fundamentals of this holiday. Again, we have to teach him what happened in Mitzrayim, but moreover, we have to teach him the laws of this festival, of this holiday. V'afata emor lo kehilchos haPesach. You have to teach him the fundamentals of Pesach. And in the context of Parshas Veschanan that we mentioned, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is incumbent upon a father to teach his son Torah, in the way that it's modeled here with regard to Pesach, is established with regard to the Ben HaChacham. However, the Braisa related this kind of response to all three sons, besides the Chacham, the other three, because when we study the Parsha, when we study the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we understand that it's all fundamentally based on limud, on study, not on lectures. Even the other children who are not Chachamim have to learn. It's not just a matter of telling them Sipur, but rather, as the Mishnah says it, Lefi daito shel ben, aviv melamdo. Please emphasize that word, melamdo. Of course, the content of what we teach varies from son to son. The relationship to the history and the sequence of events that transpired to the halachas has to be adjusted, has to be appropriate for the capability and the talents of the particular son and his level, his capacity to understand. But the principle is one and the same. We have to teach him the fundamentals of Pesach, the laws, the facts, the stories, how to observe as a Jew. Even the storytelling itself, though, is not just a description, but rather it's a study. It's an explanation. It's an elucidation. It's a process of education and understanding. But yet, we still have to understand another point in the Rambam. And this you'll see on the bottom of page Kuf Nun Ches. The Rambam writes in Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, Lefi daito shel ben aviv melamdo, the father has to adjust his educational method to the level of understanding of his son. It's got to be commensurate to the capacity of the son. Ketzad, says the Rambam. How does that express itself? Im hayakatan, he's a young child. He cannot grasp abstract ideas. Or perhaps he's older, but he's a tipesh. He's limited in his capabilities. Omer lo, the father should say to him, Ben, Bini, Kulanu hayinu avadim, kemo shifchazu o kemo eved zeh. In Mitzrayim, we were all slaves, like this slave. Ubalayla hazeh, on this night, Pada osanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayotzi'enu lecherus. And God Almighty redeemed His people, all of us, and took us to freedom. Im haya ben gadol, if his son, on the other hand, says the Rambam, was more mature in age, or chacham, maybe he's younger, but he has capabilities to understand abstract ideas, then we don't point to an eved or a shivcha. Modio masheiro lanu b'mitzrayim, explain to him the chain of events that we, our forefathers, experienced in Egypt, v'nisim shenasa lanu, and the miracles that God brought about for us, al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu, through the intermediary of Moshe, hakol lefi daito shel ben. Everything should be appropriate to the capacity, to the intellectual capacity of the son. It's very careful, it's very meticulous in the Rambam's language to understand that when we tell the son who's a child or a tipesh, he's limited, he's dull. But on the other hand, when we tell the chacham, Masha'ira lanu b'mitzrayim, what happened, what transpired, the events, the miracles that happened through Moshe Rabbeinu, this is all wonderful. We understand the Rambam very well, but I have one question to ask. Why does the Rambam feel compelled, within the context of the answer, the response of the Ben HaChacham, to introduce the name of Moshe Rabbeinu? The name of Moshe Rabbeinu does not appear in the Haggadah at all. And why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name omitted from the Haggadah? Wasn't Moshe the greatest Jew in the world who ever lived? Wasn't Moshe the one who took us out of Mitzrayim? On the night of Sibrit Yisrael, shouldn't we be mentioning Moshe Rabbeinu? Why do we omit his name? The answer is because halachically we're required to do so. Because anivelo malach, anivelo sarach, anivelo shliach. The Torah tells us that Almighty God personally took us out of Mitzrayim, not through a shliach, not through any mission of any agent, not through any intermediary. And this means two things. Number one, that God Himself is involved in taking us out of Egypt. The redemption is implemented by Almighty God personally, but not through the agency of a shliach. And number two, that the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, the story itself that we tell, should not mention the name of a shliach, lo al yedei shliach. Only God's name is mentioned in the Haggadah. That's fine. But what do we do with the Rambam? The Rambam says explicitly in Perek Zayin Halacha Chabez that we mention Moshe Rabbeinu. And we tell the Ben Haggadah that Moshe Rabbeinu brought this about. Nisim shenaso al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu? That's antithetical to the Haggadah. And I believe the answer lies in a medrash in Shir HaShirim. Al Mishkavi Balelos, a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, says the medrash, Zel Laila Shel Mitzrayim. This is the night of Mitzrayim. The pasuk then goes on and continues, Bikashti Es Shava Nafshi. I have searched out my beloved. Says the Medrash Zem Moshe, Bikashtiv v'lo mitzasiv. And then the pasuk goes on and says, Havavsovavim zeshevet shalevi. Kimat shavarti, Achimatzasi shavon if she's Zem Moshe. Achazativ, I grabbed onto v'lo arpenu, I won't let him go. Achevisiv el beisi mize sinai. Vel cheder horasi ze ol moed. The commentaries explained that this statement in the Medrash relates to the Egyptian exile. But in truth, I heard from my father, Rav Moshe, may he rest in peace, that this Medrash relates not to the exile in Egypt, but to the redemption, the night of Pesach, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Where was Moshe on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Bikashti et shava nafshi ze Moshe. Moshe is representative of Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael, the people of Israel, recognize a great thanksgiving, a sense of gratitude to their leader, to the father of all prophets. And they desire to mention his name when they organize their Haggadah. Bikashti et shava nafshi, Knesset Yisrael craves their beloved leader Moshe. They want to mention him on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Bikashti es haro'eh ha'ne'eman l'shav, I seek out the loyal shepherd in vain, eni motzi oso b'sip Yitzrayim. I can't find him on this night. On this night, he's completely hidden. Agula shayechet kula l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, because this is the night of redemption, and it belongs completely and totally to Almighty God. Mortal man, flesh and blood, even the greatest of the greatest, even the father of all the prophets, has no part in the process of Geul. Because God declares, Ani v'lo sarav, ani v'lo shliach. There's no agent here. Knesset Yisrael, yes, they're seeking out Moshe Rabbeinu. Where do they find him? Not on the night of Pesach. Not in the context of the mitzvah of Sipiyat Yisrayim. But you know where they find him? At Har Sinai. Within the framework of giving the Torah, Moshe will be the giver of the Torah. Both the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, and the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah. Says the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, Ad shematzasi yashavon nafshi achazativ l'arpenu ad sheveisiv el beis imi vel cheder harasi zeh Sinai v'yol moed. What the Medrash is conveying is that with regard to the giving of the Torah, with the transmission to Klal Yisrael of God's wisdom of the Torah itself, Moshe plays the role of a partner. His name is mentioned. It's Torah as Moshe Avdi, the Torah of Moshe, my servant. True, it's Torah Hashem, but it's also Torah Moshe at one and the same time. These are not mutually exclusive. But in the redemption, in the Geula, that belongs to Almighty God, and Moshe has no place, has no role. Even if he's Melech HaMashiach, his role as Melech HaMashiach is left for the future, for the ultimate redemption. As the Medrash says in Tehillim, V'chein Yeshaya Mefarshu P'duyei Hashem Yeshuvun V'lo P'duyei Elio V'lo P'duyei Melech Mashiach. The redeemed of Israel, referring to the redemption from Egypt, are not called the redeemed of Elio, the redeemed of the King of the Messiah, but rather, as Yeshayahu calls them, Piduyei Hashem. And therefore, the Pasuk calls them Geulei Hashem. They have been redeemed through the direct intervention and power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one else can claim partnership in the redemption from Egypt. And now we understand why the Rambam differentiates between the Ben Chacham and the Tipesh. With regard to the Tipesh, who's dull, who's limited, all that's needed is to tell him what happened in Mitzrayim. That's sufficient. There's no need to mention Moshe Rabbeinu at all. But with regard to the Ben HaChacham, when we're addressing his question, when we're teaching him the fundamentals of Pesach, when we're studying Torah with him, to answer his questions about what its purpose and what it is all about, then we don't conclude our discussion, our response to the Chacham, with Mitzrayim, but rather with what? What's the ultimate purpose of Geula? What's the last station on the road? But rather with Har Sinai. As the Pasuk says, describing Hashem's revelation to Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of the snare, back in Shmos Gimel, Bo tziyacha asa am hazeh b'mitzrayim tavdunas elokim al am hazeh, al har hazeh. With regard to that chapter, that episode, in the events of redemption, Moshe Rabbeinu appears as the guide, as the Rebbe, the outstanding Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, the only Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. And that role, as the giver, the transmitter of the Torah, was bestowed upon Moshe back in Mitzrayim. Moshe is standing, and he's teaching the halachas of Pesach to the people of Israel. And therefore, it's very possible that the true meaning of the Rambam's words, when he says, I quote, Modio Masha'ira Lanu b'Mitzrayim v'nisim shenasa lanu adei Moshe Rabbeinu, what the Rambam means by that is to explain to the son not only what transpired in Mitzrayim, but also the miracles that took place after Yitzias Mitzrayim, up until when? Matan Torah. That's the apex. And when the father explains Matan Torah, then he's not allowed to leave out, he cannot omit the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is willing to give up his life for the Torah. It's his Torah, it's Torah's Moshe Avd. And therefore would be in violation of the basic rights and the thanksgiving, the gratitude we owe to Moshe Rabbeinu if we were to omit his name. So once again, we must emphasize the central point in our discussion that the mitzvah of Sipias and Yisrayim expresses itself in its complete form through Talmud Torah. The obligation of Haggadah Leben V'Gadat Lebincha is a mirror image of the mitzvah v'shinantam levanech, v'gadata levanech v'shinantam levanech, two parallel mitzvahs, to teach Torah to our sons or to other students. True, on this night of Pesach there's a special kiyum, a fulfillment, a singular fulfillment of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. The study of Torah must be focused and limited to that area, circumscribed to that area of Yetzias Mitzrayim and those halachas that relate to Chag HaPesach. But essentially, the Sipur itself is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And that's why the Haggadah is called Haggadah. Because the Pasuk says, in Shmos Yutes, Ko somar lebeis Yaakov, v'sagid lebnei Yisrael. What does the word sagid means? Haggadah. Haggadah means mesiras haTorah miavos lebanim, the transmission of the Torah from father to son. Why don't we use the word sipur? Why do we use the word Haggadah? To convey the central idea and the form in which the mitzvah of Sipur has to take. There's no better way of emphasizing that than to call it Haggadah v'sagid l'bnei Yisrael. And the Rambam himself, very interesting, introduces the name Haggadah. But when? Only after he tells us the halacha that we have to be doresh, we have to interpret the parasha of Harami Ovid Ovi, after the Rambam establishes the halacha from Gamliel, that we have to describe the Pesach Matzah Maran, their reasons. These are hardcore halachos, gufei Torah. And now, the Rambam calls it Haggadah. Everything that we've spoken about, says the Rambam, is Haggadah. And take a look at the introduction to that section of the Haggadah that deals with the four sons. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu Baruch Shenasan Torah Li'ama Yisrael B'Kedushasa. This is basically a paraphrase of Birchas HaTorah. It's almost word for word Birchas HaTorah that we recite morning, every day, on a daily basis, thanking Hashem for granting us, for giving us the Torah with its sanctity. What's it doing here? It doesn't seem to belong. On a superficial level, we don't understand the connection between Sipriyat Yisrael and Birchas HaTorah. But the answer is, according to what we've said, there's an identity between the mitzvah of Sipriyat Yisrael and Limud HaTorah, and specifically the oral Torah. And therefore, we can begin to understand this integration of Birchas HaTorah into the Haggadah. True, we recited Birchas HaTorah in the morning, but now we have a special mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah sheyesh bo sipur yetzias Mitzrayim, that requires its own bracha. It's not sufficient to fall back on the general bracha that we recite over the Torah. And the Rav says that when Chazal derived from the pasuk Ba'avur Zeh, Lo amarti el b'shoshi esh matzah u'morar munachim lefanecha, that the mitzvah of Sipriyat Yisrael only applies when there's matzah, there's morar, bizman amigdash there was a carbon pesach. And the Bali Atosis raised the question, if a person fulfills the mitzvah of Sipriyat Yisrael after chatzos according to Rabbi Elazar and Azariah, is that a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipriyat Yetzias Mitzrayim? After all, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that the Pesach, the Korban Pesach, has to be eaten by midnight, by Chatzos. And therefore the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Kuf Chav, by equation, says that Matzah, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, has to be eaten by Chatzos. Therefore, Achol Matzah, says Rabbi Achar Chatzos, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Lo Yatzi Yedei Chovoso. So Tosfos asks the question essentially, if you require matzah and morah munachim lefanecha in order to set up Sipriyat Yetzias Mitzrayim, because otherwise maybe we should start Sipriyat Yetzias Mitzrayim miba'od yom, but the answer is it's not a mitzvah miba'od yom before the nightfall, because on the night of Pesach the mitzvah of Sipur depends upon the kiyum of matzah u'morah, which are equated to Pesach, and therefore they require laila. And therefore, the Gemara would suggest that the mitzvah of Sipriyat Yisrael is totally dependent upon the kiyum mitzvah of matzah u'morah. It's all one entity, matzah u'morah and haggadah. Therefore, the conclusion has to be, says Tosfos, that once the mitzvah of matzah and morar is pakai, terminates, therefore the obligation of sipur terminates. And yet, we find over and over again that the mitzvah of Sipriyat Yisrael goes and continues through the entire night. If you take a look at the sugya in Pesachim Kuf Tes Zayin, you will see clearly that according to many Rishonim, in our time, the mitzvah of Sipriyat Yisrael is only midrabbanan, because the medrash of Bavur Zeh, the drasha, is not just a siman ledavar to tell us at what time we should fulfill the mitzvah of Haggadah and Sipur, meaning at night, but rather it determines that the mitzvahs of Matzah, Pesach, and Sipur are all interdependent. One depends upon the other. Rashi doesn't interpret that way. But the simple way of understanding it is that Bavur Zeh is a package deal in which three mitzvos are interdependent: Pesach, Matzah, and Sipriyat Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, Tosfos in Masechta Megillah on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph postulate that one cannot fulfill the mitzvah of CPTs Mitzrayim after Chatzos. Although we recite Halil after Chatzos, and that's because since Halil is only Midrabbanan, they were lenient and they allowed you license to recite the Halil after Chatzos. But the mitzvah of Sipur is gone. It terminates with Chatzos because Sipur is dependent upon Matzah and Pesach, which terminate according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah with Chatzos. So you've got to eat the Matzah before Chatzos. And you've got to eat the Korban Pesach before Chatzos. And you've got to complete your Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim before Chatzos. That's the Sheet of Tosfos. But there is another opinion. The Ran in the second parak of Megillah. Do you have that? The Ran says that there's a different sheet of Tosfos. We don't have that Tosfos. That goes as far as to say that even Hallel has to be recited before Chatzos. So if we take the picture of the sheet of Tosfos, and especially according to the Ran, the whole package of Sipur depends upon the time for the Kiyum of Matzah and Morar, and therefore cannot be fulfilled according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah beyond Chatzos. But wait a minute. Doesn't the Haggadah tell us a story about five Tanoim who joined in a Seder in Bnei Brak? And one of them was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. V'yom esaprim b'yitzias Mitzrayim kolos alayla. Guess what? They were involved in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias the entire night until the Talmidim told them it's time for Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis. It would appear that's the impression you get, that even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was dedicating his energies to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias the entire night, even after Chatzos. But wait a minute. He's the one who maintains that the Pesach cannot be eaten after Chatzos. What's going on over here? And not only that, if you look in the Mechilta at the end of Bo, it says Rabbi Eliezer Omer Minayin Ata Omer Shim Hoysa Chabur Shal Chachamim O Shal Talmidim Shetzrichim Lasak Vilchus HaPeskar Chatzos. The Mechilta says explicitly that if you have a group of scholars and students, they're required to study the laws of Pesach, but up until Chatzos. You see explicitly that the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is until Chatzos. And that's because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds, and Rabbi Elazar himself accepted it, Rabbi Eliezer himself accepted it, that's how the Ritva says, that the mitzvah of Pesach and Matzah has to be fulfilled before Chatzos. So Bavur Zeh teaches me that Sipur has to be fulfilled before Chatzos. We're now left with a contradiction. And the Ritva points this out. On the one hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah wants the mitzvah of Sipur before Chatzos and not after Chatzos. On the other hand, he himself is one of the Tanoim who's enjoying the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias extending it throughout the entire night, way beyond Chatzos, until they told him, hey Rebbe, it's time for Kriyas Shema Shel Shacharis. Says the Rav, perhaps we should take the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and split it into two. There are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Number one is to present the facts, the events, to learn the parasha of Harami and Ovid Avi, to fulfill the Sipur and the Haggadah by learning the halachos. The time for Sipur, the Sipur of getting into the details of the facts and figures, to tell the story, that's not dependent upon matzah. With nightfall, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim emerges, and it continues throughout the night, like any mitzvah that's dependent upon night, all the way till Amud HaShachar. But with regard to the fulfillment of Sipur through learning the halachos of Matzah, of Pesach, of Moror, that mitzvah terminates with Chatzos. Because what generates that obligation is the mitzvah of Pesach and Matzah. And once the time for Pesach and Matzah passes and terminates, is as a result the dinim of Pesach are no different than learning and studying the laws of lulav and shofar and Ner Chanukah. They have no relationship whatsoever to the night of Pesach. The mitzvah of Sipur that's fulfilled through study, through Talmud Torah, is limited to learning those mitzvahs during that time period and not past that time period. Once the mitzvah is expired, there's no halacha of learning about it. Should we learn about shofar or lulav on the night of Pesach? But the maisa of Haggadah, namely to be mesaper b'yitzis Mitzrayim, by telling over the story and the chain of events within the framework of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, oh yeah, that continues the entire night. And when the Mechilta at the end of Bo tells us that if you have a chabur of chachamim and talmidim, they should be osek b'ilchas ha-pesach ad chatzos, they're talking about the dimension of Talmud Torah, of learning ilchas ha-pesach, that's up until chatzos. Beyond chatzos, Pesach is like learning about shofar and lula.
Why?
Because it has no relationship to the holiday. The mitzvah's gone. You can wait another 365 years. But once it's chatzos, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says he can't eat the matzah anymore. Could eat it, but it doesn't have a mitzvah to it. So it's like blowing shofar. What meaning does it have? So you're learning the halachas of shofar? Ridiculous. But why was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah amongst the five Tanoim in Bnei Brak that was sitting and being misaper Yitzhi Yisrael the entire night? Because that's the other dimension of Sipur Yitzhi Yisrael. Not the limud halachos, but the limud of the events that transpired, the slavery and the redemption thereof, the miracles that transpired to our ancestors experienced. So there's no stira between the mechilta that the isuk behilchas haPesach has to be completed with the end of Pesach, which means according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah with chatzos, and on the other hand, the story about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah together with the other Tanoim in Bnei Brak who were being misaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim throughout the entire night. Unbelievable chiddush of the Rav. I have to take a moment just to take a breath of air here because this is stupendous. This is a glorious chiddush. And it puts so much into perspective that the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is a complex one. That there are two distinct dimensions that make up this whole, this entity called Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. One is to study the histories, the stories, the miracles and the wonders of the redemption. The other is to study the halachos. As we saw, the Ben HaChacham wants to understand the halachos. We teach him Hilchos HaPesach, Arein Maftir Nachar Pesach HaFikomon. And there's a nafkamina between the two dimensions with regard to the time that terminates that mitzvah. When does Sipur come to its expiration time? It depends. If you're talking about the stories and the histories, the wonders and the glory, that continues throughout the night like any mitzvah. That's no Heges Balayla. But if you're talking about studying the halachos, that, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, expires with chatzos. When the mitzvah of matzah and pesach is paka, it completely terminates. And therefore, says the Rav, with regard to the study of Hilchos Pesach, which we establish is part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzrayim, and we read Rabbi Gamliel who says, Kol shelo amar shlosha dvarim elu bepesach lo yotzei dechovaso. He's got to describe the Pesach and its meaning, the matzah and its meaning, the mara and its meaning. If not, he doesn't fulfill his mitzvah, which apparently refers to the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. But the Marsha says, that's not what Rav Gamliel is referring to. He's referring to the mitzvah of matzah and marar. A person doesn't fulfill the matzah and marar completely unless he describes the matzah, he describes the marar, he tells us why God gave us this mitzvah. And he concludes his presentation, the Marsha, by saying, Lo matzinu b'shar mitzvahs d'boi shi'omer b'leim al shem. We never found in any other act of a mitzvah that we have to add al shem. In other words, we do this mitzvah, al shem this, al shem that. We don't have to explain away the mitzvahs and why we're implementing them. By the way, it's not just the Marsha who maintains that Rabbi Gamliel's meaning when he says lo yotzi dechovaso is lo yotzi dechovas matzu maror, it's also the Ramban, and I'll prove it to you. The Ramban at the beginning of Brachos, when he wants to prove that when the Shas uses the words lo yotzi dechovaso, sometimes what they mean is not literally that the mitzvah is futile, it's meaningless. Sometimes it means lechatchila, it's required. It's an embellishment to the mitzvah, but the evet, certainly you still obtain the kiyum mitzvah. Lo yotzi dechovasa means lo yotzi dechovasa mitzvah shlemus. He didn't complete the mitzvah in its perfect state. And he proves it amongst other texts from Rabbi Gamliel. And he says that even according to Rabbi Gamliel, when he says lo yotzi dechovasa, he doesn't mean to say that he completely forfeits the mitzvah of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Maybe he has to repeat his achila in order to obtain the kiyum bishlemus of Amiras Hadvarim of Al Shem. And if you take a look in Tosfos on Daf Kuf Tezvav Amud Aleph, in the explanation that he gives for that sugya of Tibul Rishon B'Chazeres, which means if you only have Maror and you have to use the Maror for two Tibulim, for the first Tibul as a Shinui to arouse the curiosity of the children, the second Tibul for the sake of Maror, and we hold that Mitzvah Srichas Kavana says Tosus, and therefore you aren't Yotze, you're Mitzvah of Maror with the first Tibul. Rav Chizda says, nevertheless, I insist that you recite the bracha of Halachilus Marar on the first tibul, and only then eat the Marar, so that it will be eaten after the matzah. But on the second tibul, when you eat the chazeres after the matzah, there's no bracha. Says Tosus, why make the bracha on the first tibul if you're only yotze with the second achilah that comes much later on after Marar, after matzah? Says Tosfos, and I quote, Rav Chizda Nami near the Sovereign Kreish Lakish, the boy Kavana. So he's not Yotzi with the first Tibul. Afal Pichain, Savar Shein, Nochal Avarch B'Tibul Hasheni. We shouldn't suspend the Brach and delay it, Alachilus Marar, until the second Tibul. The Kevan Shekvar Mila Kreiso, he's already eaten the Marar in the first Tibul, because that's all he has as a vegetable. Then it's not right to omit the bracha on the first tibul. Very odd. He's going to make a bracha al achilus maror on the first tibul, but he's not yotze the mitzvah of achilus maror? Says Tosfos. How do I know that Rav Chizda maintains the position that mitzvos trichos kavana? Tosfos says, I'm going to eliminate the other possibility. The e sover ein trichos kavana. Havelei lemem lehejid the nofik b'tibul rishon. If Rav Chizda was of the opinion that mitzvos ain't tzrichas kavana, then he's yotzi in this case with the first tibul, he should have mentioned that. He should have said that if he delays the bracha until the second tibul, it would be a bracha matoli. He's already been yotzi with the first tibul. He must willy-nilly make the bracha halachis mar before the first tibul. That Rav Chizda doesn't say. But rather, says Tosfos, Rav Chizda accepts the position Reish Lakish, mitzvos trichas kavana, and therefore he's not yotze with the first tibul al achilus maror. Says Tosfos, so why is he making a bracha on the first tibul? Mitzvos trichas kavana, he's not yotze with that tibul. Im ya yivarech betibul sheni. I'm sorry, I read it wrong. He says, Afal gav diker mitzvahs mara lo nafik el b'tibul sheni akar matzah mo eles habracha shebireich b'tibul rishon l'tibul sheni. The bracha that recites on the first tibul is meaningful for the second tibul. Me achar she'ochar ochal mimenu ma'at b'tibul rishon, since he ate a little bit of mara in the tibul rishon. What does that mean? He ate a little bit of Mara in the Tibul Rishon, but he's not Yotze, because Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, he's not being miskaming for the Mitzvah of Mara in the first Tibul. He's leaving the Mitzvah of Mara for the second Tibul after Matzah, on Matzah Sumrom Yochlu. Then for sure, the Bracha on the first Tibul, if he's not Yotze, should be a classical case of a Bracha Levatola. What does he mean when he says, Tosus, that a Bracha Mo'eles shebirech b'tibul rishon l'tibul sheni kevan she'ochal mihem, since he ate a little bit of the maror. And by the way, Tosus continues, and he finds a paradigm, an analogy. Midi dehavi abircha shofar. He recites a bracha on shofar, on the tkios, the yeshiva, the miyushav. Umoleles habrach letkios sheba mida shem ikar venas al seder habrachas. Tosus says that there are two sets of tkios. There are tkios to miyushav, and there are tkios to mumat. The tkiyas to miyushav before the Shmona Esrei and the tkiyas to Mu'umot are integrated into the Amidah. Which of the two sets of tkiyas are the most important? Where is the primary kiyum that we want to obtain? Where is the mitzvah embellished and reaches its zenith, its fruition? It's the second set of tkiyas.
During
the Amidah. Because we want to integrate shofar into the Amidah. And yet, when do we recite the bracha?
No.
Before the first set of tekiyas. Before the tekiyas to miyushav. Way before we get to the musaf. How can it be? How can you make a bracha at the beginning, and then that bracha has to be suspended, has to be frozen, and taken out of the deep freeze when you're ready for the ikar mitzvah? But I don't understand, says the Rebbe. In the case of shofar, he's mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa with the first set of tekiyas. True, the Chachamim embellished the mitzvah of shofar and extended it. And within the context of the mitzvah derabbanan, we integrate the shofar blowing into the Amidah. We expand the mitzvah of shofar. But for sure you have to make the bracha before the first set of tekiyas. On the fulfillment of the mitzvah of shofar, d'oraisa, yom trua yelachem. But in the case of Morar, isn't he wasting away a bracha since he's not Yotze with the first Tibul? He's not miskaving to be Yotze, and we're holding now the mitzvah Srichas Kavana. What is this analogy between shofar, in this case the bracha on the Kiyas to Miyushav, and Morar, when he recites a bracha according to Rav Chisda on the Tibul Rishon? Says the Rav, there are two distinct mitzvos with regard to eating Pesach Matzah Morah. On the surface of it, it looks like one mitzvah achila. That's the Kiyum HaMitzvah, the Maisa Mitzvah, the Kiyum HaMitzvah. But no, that's only one dimension. The mitzvah Be'erev Tochlu Matzah, Sal Matzah Morah Yochlu, V'yochles HaBosav Alayla Zeh, that generates a mitzvah of achila. And there, the Maisa Mitzvah, the Kiyum HaMitzvah is all the same. But there's another dimension to the eating of Pesach Matzah Morah. Through the eating, we fulfill the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's based on the pasuk, Bavur Zeh Os Hashem Limi Mitzrayim, Bavur Zeh Lo Amarti El Bishosh Yesh Matzah Morah Munafim Lefanecha. You see, I would have quoted a different source that the basis for this conclusion is Lechem Oni, the Gemara says, Sha'onim Olav Dvarim Harbi. But the Rav derives, he claims that the biblical source is the pasuk Bavur Zeh Os Hashem Li B'Tzeisi Mitzrayim. In any event, as we emphasized earlier, according to many Rishonim, there's one obligation of Matzah Morah together with Tzipi Mitzrayim as one entity. We saw it in the Ramban, we saw it in the Marsha. The Achilas Matzah Morah is itself a fulfillment of the mitzvah V'Higadet L'Bincha. We don't only fulfill the mitzvah of Higadet L'Bincha by telling stories, oral recitation and narrative. We also fulfill the mitzvah of Higadet L'Bincha through achila, through an act, a kumvaseh. All the questions of the children, of the four sons, or three out of the four, one Sheni Hidei Lishol, all relate arum and arum, around and around, to Pesach Matzah Morah. Therefore, Rabbi Gamliel certainly derived his halacha of Kol Shelo Omar Shloshet Dvarim Elu BePesach from the pasuk Bavur Zeh Os Hashem Li. Dahainu, what does it mean? Bavur Matzu Morah. In truth, the derivation is that V'Higadet L'Bincha is an indispensable part in the kiyum of Matzu Morah. at least in the second key, in the second dimension. So what holds me back here is not the fulfillment of the mitzvah achila of Be'er Tochlu Matzis, that I certainly have fulfilled, but rather the halacha v'gadat tel bincha b'avur zeos Hashem li, that has to be fulfilled by telling the story and then eating the matzah and the maror. Therefore, the Ramban and the Marsha are very justified in explaining that it is an incomplete, deficient mitzvah of matzah maror if that achil of matzah maror is not accompanied by Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore l'shem ma, you have to explain the mitzvah of achila in all these three cases. What's the purpose of the mitzvah? And all this is derived from Bavur Zeh. Interesting is the Rambam in Perek Zayin Aluch Yud Aleph Milchus Chametz Matzah paskins that Charoses is a mitzvah midivrei sofrim zecher litit. What does that mean? We remember through the Charoses the mortar, the tit that the Jews made in Mitzrayim. That's a kiyum of Sipitzis Mitzrayim. And therefore it makes sense according to the Rambam that the charoses should be eaten together with the matzah maror. Here's another proof that the achil itself of matzah maror has another dimension to it. It's a fulfillment of Sipitzis Mitzrayim. Otherwise, why integrate charoses with matzah maror? If this be the case, we can now come back to Tosfos and interpret why at the moment of Tibul, according to Rav Chisda, the first Tibul which has no kiyum of achilus matzah maror, because the Torah says, al matzah sumrom yochlu, let's wait until after the matzah tea tomorrow. Since his kavana, when he does the first Tibul, is for shinui, to do something odd, to dip a vegetable and eat it before the meal, we never do that. Let's arouse the curiosity of the children. Why? What mitzvah motivates us to arouse the curiosity of the children? The answer is, it's beyond a shadow of a doubt, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the essence of the first Tibul. Therefore it comes out that even though the kiyum of the primary mode and dimension of the achilas maror is going to come much later after he eats the matzah, therefore he doesn't have kavani, he has no intention to fulfill the mitzvah of al matzah sumrom yochlu at this point. Nevertheless, there's another dimension, another fulfillment of maror, and that is maror as an achila which expresses Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, since he has a kiyum of achilus maror with the first achila, then it makes sense, it's justified, it's understood that he should recite a bracha al achilus maror on the first tibul, even though the ikar tibul, the primary tibul, is the achila of maror afterwards, after the achilus matzah. But since there is one kiyum of sipur, namely achilas maror sheyesh ba sipur tishtrayim in the achila, through the first tibul, the hekera, the shinui tibul, therefore we're already justified to recite the bracha at that point. And Rav Chisda's mila kresa mihem is nothing more than an expression to convey to us that whenever you have a mitzvah that has different parts, perhaps the secondary part came first and the pinnacle in sequence is going to come later, make the bracha before you start the mitzvah. And I would add a footnote here that we find such a case, and I think it's a model, it's a paradigm for what the Rav is saying, in the midst of Bir Chametz. When do we destroy the Chametz? On the night of Yudalid? On the night of Bedika? Oh no. The mitzvah is Tashbisu is the next day. But when do we recite the Bracha al Bir Chametz?
Never.
The night before, when we start at Bedika. Bedika is part of the mitzvah of Bir. And therefore, the Bracha is recited at the very beginning. If this be the case, then the Rav says the study of Hilchas Pesach is an integral part of CPT Shtrayim, not only because of the question of the Chacham, but also because of the halacha of Bavur Zeh. Since there's a halacha in Achilas Pesach Matzah Umara to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur through that Achila, and this is based on the dictum of Rabbi Gamliel, therefore the halachos and the study thereof are also included in Vigadat Lebincha. When we dedicate ourselves to study the laws of Pesach Matzah Umara, then this is just as equal and as significant as our dedication to the stories and the events that transpired in Mitzrayim to our ancestors. Because this too, as part and parcel of Sipur Yisrael, enhances our kiyum of Achilas Pesach Matzu Morar as a kiyum of Sipur Yisrael, qua kiyum. And therefore I would say, according to the Rav, this is my own personal addition, that even after Chatzos, there might be a kiyum even in learning the halachos. Again, I'm contradicted here by the Mechilta at the end of Bo, because to the extent to which the limud halachos is part of the mitzvah of Sipur in Matzah, then maybe there's a kiyum of matzah that goes beyond Chatzos, although Be'erev Tochlu Matzahs and V'yochlos HaBosu V'layla Zeh is limited to Chatzos. Perhaps there's a kiyum of eating matzah and Pesach beyond Chatzos, insofar as it's a medium through which I fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Mitzrayim. And finally, the Rav concludes this Yahrzeit Shir by interpreting the word Haggadah, the term Haggadah, in a totally different light. The halacha has determined that it's not just enough to tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but we are required to re-experience the redemption from Mitzrayim. Bechol dor v'dor chayev adam liros es atzmo kilu hu yotzim Mitzrayim, as the Mishnah has it. The Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Vav goes even further. He says, "Kilu hu atzvo yotza ato mishiv Mitzrayim." He has a slightly different text than the Mishnah. Instead of liros es atzmo, he has laharos es atzmo. A man on the night of Mitzrayim is required to demonstrate that he's going out of Mitzrayim. How does he physically do so? He drinks the dalid kosos. He reclines. He does a seva. In other words, we have to hold on to this great experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim and reenact it. Experience it now, as if now we're going out of Mitzrayim. That's essential to the mitzvah of Sipur, to reenact any sort of actions that testify to the great fortune and the joy that we've experienced, to demonstrate the fact that we are B'nai Chorin, that we're free people. Man feels that he cannot hold back. He cannot feel inhibited. His feelings and emotions of joy, his hislavus, his energy, must come to the fore. It must be expressed in this real world, as if now, at this very moment, he experienced the miracle. As if now, at this very moment, he exited and was freed from the shackles of slavery and oppression of Mitzrayim, from the tit, from the mortar that he had to create, the levain of the bricks that he had to build. And from all this he comes out to a light, a beautiful, clear light. In a word, it's not enough that he testifies and tells the story of Mitzrayim as they occurred, but rather, he's describing them as he experiences them right now. He's an aid re'iyah to testify about what's happening now, not what happened then, not in the past to his forefathers, but rather in the present to him personally. And in this state of ecstasy, he fulfills the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Therefore, in truth, the entire mitzvah of Sipi Yitzius Mitzrayim is Haggadah Seidus. It's testimony. The Gadah to Lebincha now takes on a new meaning. He has to see and he has to testify. He has to experience and then he has to testify about this great event. His soul knows no rest. The experience of redemption is so powerful, it overwhelms him. He must express it and talk about it to others. He can't keep it bottled up inside of him. Haggadah means sharing that testimony with others. Every individual Jew has to fulfill this obligation on the night of Pesach. Because Chayev Adam Laharos Es Atzma. V'igadat Lebincha Bavur Zeh Os Hashem Leave It Seisim Mitzrayim. Don't just tell words and stories about what happened in the past. Fulfill the Haggadah as a personal testimony. Give expression to your inner joy. As we said before, to your slavus, your overwhelming sense of excitement, and express it in actions, in pu'ulot u'ma'asim. And it's interesting that the Rambam, after he says, u'dvarim ha'elu kulam nikraim ha'gadah, immediately after he closes that entire section, by saying all the above and all these details, all these narratives are all part of what we call Haggadah. Immediately thereafter, the Rambam says, "Bechol dar v'dar chayav adam laharos es atzmo." The word Haggadah, the terminology as it's used by the Rambam, gives us the entry into the essence of the mitzvah of Sipi Yitzius Mitzrayim, the re-experiencing Mitzrayim, personal. As if it happened now. The joy that wells up within us and springs forth in the actions and the testimony, the demonstration that we experienced Yetzias Mitzrayim personally, that is ultimately the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Vigadat Lebincha.